nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. But today, the feast of St. Ambrose, one of the great doctors of the church. There was one of the original four who were given that title. It was Ambrose, Augustine, Jerome, and then Gregory the Great. Those are the original four doctors of the church. And he was born in the year 340 to a father of great importance. His father was a regional governor, great large parts of Gaul, large parts of Italy, so one of the right up close to the emperor himself. His father died when he was young. St. Ambrose's family moved to Rome, and he was given an excellent education, and he was born into a Catholic family, but somehow he himself never ended up baptized. He had an older sister, 10 years older. She joined a convent, but again, he never ended up receiving the sacraments. Well, he ended up becoming a governor, like in the same path as his father. And at the age of 35, we have the famous account where he went from being a governor of men to a governor of souls. And so this is at the time in in the city of Milan, where he was governor. There was a huge, there was a rivalry between the Arians and the Catholics over who was going to be the next bishop. And both sides thought that they wanted their candidate as the bishop. So there's a tumult going in the city, and Ambrose, as the governor, being a man possessed of excellent morals, arrives and he speaks to the crowd, trying to calm the crowd, trying to placate both sides, and speaks so forcefully and powerfully and firmly that there was a point where there was a pause in his oration, and then a young voice cried out from the crowds, "Ambrose for bishop." And everybody picked it up, Ambrose or bishop. This is not what he was expecting. So he actually fled. He fled the scene and went and hid with one of his fellow politicians, right? Another Roman nobility. And his friend writes to the emperor and says, what do you want us to do? They want to make your governor a bishop. And the emperor at that time, I think it was Valentinian, was extremely pleased. He says, these Christians have a great reputation for high standards, and so if they want one of my governors to be their bishop, I think it reflects very highly upon the Roman Empire. So, absolutely. So his friend receives this letter from the emperor and then turns Ambrose over to the crowd, right? Delivered him up to the bishopric. Not to torture, but to become a bishop. Maybe it's the same thing. I don't know. But so Ambrose, this is a testament. He was still a catechumen at this point. He hadn't even been baptized. And that just shows the level. I think of Luke chapter 17, verse 10, where it says, "After the servants, when they have done all they've been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done only what we were supposed to do.'" Ambrose was not baptized, and he had all these virtues. And where do these virtues come from? We think of prudence, justice, temperance, fortitude. The Catholic Church didn't invent those virtues. The Catholic Church didn't even discover those virtues. Pagans did. The Greeks and the Romans, they understood these are the cardinal virtues and this is where all the other virtues come from. That's the natural state of man. We have this idea that these basic virtues, you have to be baptized, that's what religious people do. Pagans are supposed to do this because God put it in the human heart to understand virtue and goodness. We're supposed to by our nature. So we look at these saints, and they've achieved a very high supernatural level of sanctity, but they also have a natural I don't want to say sanctity, but a natural virtue that is prerequisite, and we lose sight of that. We think that it all has to be supernatural virtue. It's like, no, you're supposed to be punctual and responsible and polite and dedicated and hardworking and mature. Those are all things God expects of us, not just us because we're baptized, us because we're human beings. Everybody's supposed to be doing that. So that's what Ambrose received. He received that very good moral education as a young man, those pagan, ancient Greek and Roman moral virtues, and they were good because they corresponded to the natural law, right? The example of a car, right? A vehicle. You put on good tires, it has a good engine, you put engine or oil, gasoline, whatever, you have what you need, you have a good car. That's what a human person is. Everybody's supposed to have it. So Ambrose got that, and to that natural virtue, once he added the supernatural grace of baptism and everything else, he became, it was funny, like unstoppable, just like this incredible example of virtue of a bishop and of a Catholic. And in 1 week, let's see if I can find it here, he went from baptism to bishop. He was baptized, confirmed, received First Holy Communion, was tonsured as a cleric, and then got the minor orders of porter, lector, exorcist, acolyte, was ordained a subdeacon, a deacon, and a priest, and then finally at the end of a week was consecrated bishop. Like a whole week of sacraments. And he was 35 years old when that happened, 35. So his brother actually came. His brother had been involved in politics elsewhere. His brother quit politics and went and lived with Ambrose and administered his temporal affairs while Ambrose dedicated himself just to his duty as bishop. He gave away all of his like vast wealth. He gave it away, and he completely embraced the example of Christ. He gave the money to the poor. He lived in penance and austerity, and he had to learn while he was responsible for teaching. Like, he had to immediately start teaching priests who'd been doing this from the time of their youth, and Ambrose had just been, he'd been a catechumen. He'd been receiving instruction from a priest, and now he was that priest-bishop. That would be intimidating. Reminds me of the time I had to bring these converts into the church, and they were Protestants, but they were like these super Protestants. Like, they had read Augustine and Aquinas and everything, and I was telling them about the scriptures, and they like, oh yeah, you know, they nod their head. I told them about Thomas Aquinas. Oh yeah, and then they made some other point that I hadn't read yet. I was like, So Ambrose, it's not easy, right? It's not easy when, and everybody's deficient. Like they say, when you are ordained a priest, you don't know everything you need to know. And I mean, how much more so to be ordained a bishop, and you haven't even been a priest yet. And so Ambrose was just absolutely just dedicated to fulfilling it to the best of his ability. So he was reading the fathers of the church, he was reading the scriptures, he was preaching, he was teaching, he was learning at the same time. And he was absolutely popular in the best sense of the term. Arian heresy that was in that city, it went away because he converted them all. Right? They were completely convinced by him. And all throughout Italy, he was very instrumental in overcoming that great heresy of Arianism. And it was mostly among the nobility. It was a power struggle. You know, he preached so well and wonderfully. He was famous for converting Augustine, who himself was a great orator. So Augustine was converted by Ambrose. And Augustine said of Ambrose, his teacher, he was one of those rare orators who spoke the truth and spoke it well, judiciously, pointedly, with beauty and power of expression. And St. Ambrose has said, after he baptized Augustine, that's when he composed the Te Deum, and that's what is sung at the end of all the ordinations. One of his favorite topics of preaching was the beauty of virginity and that consecrated life to God, and he was so effective in preaching about virginity, about the consecrated life, mothers wouldn't let their daughters listen to his sermons, as they would all become nuns. And in fact, he was accused of depopulating the empire. So he had to prove, he had to go and ask the young men, like, do you have any trouble finding wives? You know, so, and then, no, we don't, okay, so don't accuse me anymore. So I was just his rhetoric was excellent, and he used it on the highest topic, right? Rhetoric is the art of speaking well and beautifully, and he used it to speak well and beautifully about virtue, about God, about the supernatural life. You know, another famous example was when he refused entrance into his church of the Emperor Theodosius. This is the emperor, the most powerful politician. I mean, not politician, but like this is the like dictator, the one with all the power. And Theodosius, in putting down a rebellion, had, he was advised, whatever the thing at the time, to make an example, he slaughtered a whole village. 7,000 men, women, children, just ordered his soldiers to kill them all, set an example. And Ambrose said, oh no, that is not fitting. And so Theodosius attempted to go to church, right? Here we have this politician who did not follow Catholic doctrine, and he's going to go to church and pretend to be a good Catholic. Ambrose came out, wouldn't even let him enter the church. He stopped him on the steps and said, "You need to do penance before you can pretend to be a good Catholic." If only we had more example of that today. And you know what? It worked. Theodosius did penance. He did humiliating penance. Penances that says that even just regular persons were hesitant to do the kind of public penances that were required, and the emperor did it. Humiliated himself in front of his whole empire because of the example of Ambrose. Ambrose insisted upon the standards. He insisted that they be followed. He would not yield, and he converted that emperor. If only we had more bishops like that today. Pray for those bishops. That's what they're supposed to be doing. Not confirming error, but contradicting it. And they're going to have blood on their hands. Ambrose, another, he was also an early witness to the church's doctrine of baptism of desire. So the son of one of the other emperors, Valentinian, there was Valentinian II, he who had been instructing him was going to receive him into baptism. Valentinian II was murdered by political rivals before he could receive baptism. And Ambrose was very distraught by this, and he gave at the funeral oration, he said something to the effect of, like, because he desired it so much and he wanted baptism, God will not refuse it to him. And this is one of our early indications, baptism of desire. If you are not, don't actually receive the sacrament, actual water baptism, that your desire for it, that earnest desire, God will count that for it, right? God is bound to the sacraments, but not by the sacraments. So finally, after, and there's more, there's much, much more, but after a life of wonderful works, of 22 years, he was a bishop for 22 years, he died at the age of 57. And he passed away on April 4th, which was Good Friday in the year 397. So definitely what a way to, he died on the same day as our Lord. It's one of those indications, very pleasing life. It's one of God's way of saying, kind of like, I don't know, maybe like the a soft kind of a stigmata. Right, if you die on the same day that Christ died, the same day he was crucified, it's like God's way of saying this has been a loyal son of the church. So what an example from St. Ambrose. And again, he was very soon after his baptism, he immediately displayed almost a perfection of virtues. It was because he cultivated the natural virtues, and we lose sight of that. If we think that we've reached the pinnacle of sanctity. We've got a long way to go. We set our standards way too low. We need to raise them. We need to constantly be thinking if there's anything we realize, if there's any virtue or goodness or anything better I see that I could do, I need to strive for it, right? That is us just doing what we've been commanded, right? We are unprofitable servants. Just by having heroic virtue, for in God's eyes, that was the minimum. That's what he wanted from us in the beginning. But we're not going to be able to do it on our own. We do need his help, but we do need to correspond generously, as did St. Ambrose. So let us ask for his intercession and his prayers that we might do so. God bless you all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.